and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Following Jesus was pretty easy. When Jesus first called men like Peter, James, John, even Matthew and the others, following Jesus wasn't so bad. He was teaching things that many of the people hadn't heard. He was doing things that they certainly had never seen, like healing the sick, raising the dead, driving out demons. Following Jesus was like following a rock star today. He was a celebrity, and hanging out near Jesus was a pretty good thing. And then he started to tell them what was going to happen. The Son of Man will be betrayed into the hands of wicked men, and he will suffer and die, and on the third day rise from the dead. No, that will never happen, you remember, Peter said. And Jesus had to set Peter straight. Get behind me, Satan. And then Jesus said, and as they treat me, so they will treat you. Things changed, didn't it? Instead of hanging out near cool Jesus and basking in his glow, now there's going to be suffering. There's going to be persecution. Not everyone's going to like us. But Jesus told them, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but fear him who has the power to cast you, body and soul, into hell. Jesus was talking about the fear of God, not the fear of men or the fear of Satan. Fear God. The first commandment is clear. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. What does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Jesus suffered and died as he said he would. He rose from the dead as he said he would. But even his followers did not believe. We heard that last Sunday as the women went not to greet the risen Christ, but to bury or finish the job of burying the dead one. But what a shock they received. We know who you're looking for. He is not here. He is risen as he said. Now go and tell the disciples that he goes before you into Galilee. A mixture of fear and disbelief. They told no one except for one who ran to Peter and said, I have seen the Lord. And so Peter and John went to the tomb. They still did not believe. It's been a week since we listened to that account, but today's gospel doesn't take a week. It's the evening of that very day when Jesus rose from the dead. Even though the word has spread, visions of angels, word of resurrection, some have seen Jesus. What are the disciples doing? Are they heeding the word of Jesus? Do not be afraid of those who can harm the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. The text says they were gathered together behind locked doors for fear of the Jews. They were afraid, and they were afraid of the wrong one. They were afraid because they did not believe that Jesus had been raised from the dead. They were afraid that now those who had done this to Jesus would in fact do the same to them. Imagine as they looked back over the past 3 years. Imagine the remorse. Sort of like when you make a major purchase, you get it home, maybe it's an appliance, maybe it's something bigger, like a car or a house, and suddenly things aren't what you planned for. And you start to think, can I get my money back? Can I take this back? Can I get something new? Can I get something different? Were they having buyer's remorse? When suddenly he appeared to them. He does not scold them. He does not yell at them. He simply speaks two simple words. Eirene humin. You don't know what those words mean other than that you've heard them translated. Jesus spoke to them in their language. And he simply said, peace is yours. Peace to you. They were stunned. Do you think there wasn't a deep swallow in their throats? What's he doing here? We were fearing the wrong ones. Do you think that they did not look back on their lives of the last 3 days? How they had gone with Jesus to the garden? He had said, stay awake and watch and pray. But they fell asleep. Do you think they didn't recall just a few hours before that when they were in the upper room? And as Jesus spoke of his coming passion, he spoke about sending the Spirit. He knelt at their feet and washed their feet. He gave to them an unusual thing. He said, here, take this bread, eat it. It's my body for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Taking the cup, he gave it to them and said, drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. But what were they thinking of? How they had argued with one another about who was the greatest and who was going to receive glory in the kingdom that was to come. Indeed, as they saw Jesus in front of them, they certainly must have been filled with sorrow, grief, and shame. Put yourself in Peter's shoes. He had followed Jesus to the courtyard where Jesus would be put on trial. And according to the word of Jesus, he had done exactly what Jesus said. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. It must have been rather awful to see the risen Christ as they examined their life and how they had treated and acted towards Jesus. But Jesus again does not raise his voice. He shows them his hands and his side. Because some of them must have wondered, is this really him or are we seeing a ghost? That happened later on when they saw him. Is this really him? Yes, it is. And they rejoiced. And then he said it again. Peace to you. What Jesus was doing is what Jesus does because he is the Son of God. What Jesus was doing is what he said he would do. What Jesus was doing was what the angels announced on the night of his birth. When this eternal Son of God took on human flesh for the purpose of redeeming a lost and fallen and broken world and the people living in it. Glory to God in the highest, they declared, and on earth peace, goodwill from God to men. God's peace is God's forgiveness. Forgiveness according to his mercy. Forgiveness in Jesus' name. Forgiveness that turns fear into faith. Forgiveness that declares to you that in Christ and through Christ alone, you have peace with God. How about you today? As you consider what God has called you to do. The commandments that you have been taught, the life that you have been called to live, the confession that you have been called to make. look back over more than just the last 3 days, as perhaps the disciples did that night, and consider, how have you confessed Christ with your words, with your lives, and with your actions? The same Christ who stood in the midst of his disciples that Easter night is the Christ who stands in your midst and proclaims to you his word. Yes, like he did on so many occasions throughout his public ministry, as he called the people to himself, he called not just those nameless, faceless people whom he healed and whom he cared for, the people whom he drove out the demons from, the people he raised from the dead, but also these apostles. Yes, he called them to repentance. And he does the same for each of you. He calls you to turn aside from your fear of men or fear of Satan to the true fear of God in humbleness and repentance. But he also calls you to himself and his grace and his mercy. Because the same words that the apostles heard that night, and which they hear again the week later when Thomas, not the doubting one, but the unbelieving one, was also with them. He said it not once, not twice, but for the third time. Eirene, humin. Peace is yours. Peace to you. Fear God. Trust in God above all things. Confess your sin. But trust that in this place, not behind locked doors, not gathered here because we fear the Jews or fear the world or fear anything other than a God who is gracious and merciful, Christ stands in your midst. And in his word, he says to you, your sins are forgiven. Throughout this Eastertide, we sort of get simultaneous looks, at least the beginning of this Easter season, of the apostles right after the resurrection and the apostles after Pentecost. And we don't want to jump too fast. Let's enjoy this Easter season. Let's rejoice again and again and again in the appearances of Jesus to his beloved people. Not just the apostles, but more than 500 on one occasion, as the apostle tells us. We rejoice again and again as we hear that gracious, glorious Easter message that the Lord is risen, he is risen indeed. Alleluia. But we can't help but take a peek at those apostles. What a change came over them. On this night, there in the upper room, we are told that Jesus breathed on these apostles. Can you not also recall how God first created Adam and Eve? He breathed into them his breath, and they became a living being. The same God who breathed life into Adam and Eve was present with his disciples and breathed into them that night that they might know and believe that standing there in their presence was the Lord Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the God of creation who bestows life and salvation by his word. On the day of Pentecost, this same Jesus would send forth the same Spirit. The same Spirit who had created faith in them, true fear of God in them, would give them courage and boldness to be his faithful witnesses, who would no longer fear the threats of men when told, "Do you not listen to us? You must not speak of this Jesus. You are spreading his name all over Jerusalem, all over the world, and you're blaming us for his death." They were imprisoned and threatened. But when God miraculously set them free, their true fear of God, and that's a good thing, led them right back to the temple where they joyfully and faithfully confessed that Jesus Christ was risen from the dead and that there was salvation in his name. And what did they say? By not just their actions, but their words. We must obey God rather than men. As for them, so may it be for the people of the church today. You have been called His holy people. You have been gathered by the Holy Spirit. You have had the life of the Spirit and of Christ breathed into you in the waters of holy baptism. Listen to Jesus. Obey Jesus. Walk according to His commandments. But listen especially to His promises. I am with you even to the very ends of the age. You have nothing to fear. For I say to you, Eirene, humin, peace to you. Jesus showed the apostles His hands and His side as evidence that He truly was in their presence, bestowing this gift and His grace and His forgiveness. Jesus doesn't stand in your midst today and show you His hands and His side, for He has ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. His visible presence has been removed. But do not be afraid. Your Lord Jesus Christ is still in your midst. His word says, as it did to the apostles that night, on the night when He was betrayed, take and eat. This is my body. The very body that was nailed to the tree, the very body laid in the tomb, the very body that rose from the dead, the very body that stood in the midst of the disciples, is the one that is given to you to eat with His promise for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup. Take and drink. This is my blood shed for you. And as you take and receive this gift, you rejoice because the same voice of Jesus that said to the disciples, Eirene Hemin, peace to you, is the one that says to you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and with sins forgiven, Jesus says to you this Easter day, Eirene Hemin, peace is yours, in Jesus' name. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus until life everlasting.